Leriaman Kridia Bria Sakoria Satama Kria Sikobasha Ele Kurbian Inkandano Kria Sat Kurdiese Bria Sakrbia Shat Kridiese Kurbiasha Bekria Sata Ko Ken Mana Kridia Sikrobiasha Ikria Sat Kuridia Kurbiasha Selo Kuribaria Satoko Mama Mama Kria Sa Holy, 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 Holy are my people who are called by my name. Holy is that which I have planted in you. Holy is that which I have ordained for you. Holy is that which I will accomplish through you. I am a God and I am holy, and I have released an anointing that will transform not only you, it will transform this city, it will transform this nation. It is time, my children, it is time for you to go forth. I know you think you don't have what it takes. I know you think you should be larger. But if you right now will just hook up with what I have been saying and watch me move through you, you will see the transformation. This church has not even come close to what it will be. The numbers are astounding, but you are the beginning of what I am going to do. Open up your hearts and your mind to receive the word and ask me to cause that word to rise up in you. Stop thinking you have to do it. It is by my spirit, and I have poured my spirit out up on you. You are able to go forth and take the land. Rise up. Stop waiting, but rise up in what is already in you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Today, we are talking about the anointing unhindered. Hallelujah. That was divine setup. The anointing unhindered. This is what God had put on my heart and just confirmed, obviously, with the word through Sister Gail. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah chapter 61. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Verse 1 through 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn.
Testing. Am I on?
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. We receive your word, Father, and we thank you that we will be a church that's not hindered, Father, that we will do all that you have called us to do in our families, Father, in our city, in this nation, and in the world, Father. We are a people who are unhindered, Father, who will flow in your anointing, who will follow after your Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you. We will be a people that rises up and does your kingdom will, plan, and purpose. Amen. All the way back, Isaiah chapter 61. We don't spend a lot of time in Old Covenant, but this is where God started me with and for today's message, and so this is where we'll look at Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. Notice that the word because. There is a reason for us to be anointed. God has something for us to do. The anointing is not just for you. The anointing is not just for me. There is a reason for the anointing, and he lays it out. The anointing that is upon us says he's anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. We all have good news to share in our sphere of influence with those who are afflicted, with those who are going through. There's a scripture in even our new covenant that says that we are to comfort others with the God who comforted us. By the same comfort that we have received, we are to comfort others. And all of us have experienced God's goodness. And the prophet Isaiah was sharing here that we are to bring good news. That is what the gospel is, good news. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. We've all dealt with and have obviously experienced broken hearts. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, and notice this, proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Well, captives are usually in bondage to people. Prisoners are usually in bondage to places or things. And God has sent us to proclaim liberty or release to captives, freedom to prisoners. And it says here to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Y'all know that for 2017, we were decreeing and declaring that it is our due season. Yes. And Pastor Jim had shared that when 2018 came, it's still our due season. It is still our due season, and we operate in that. This is the favorable year of the Lord. And it says here, in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. What's interesting about Isaiah chapter 61 and the way God had laid it out for me was this was spoken of, I don't know exactly when it was written, but it was spoken of in 686 BC. Now, if you're doing quick math, that's 2,700 years ago. You understand? 2,700 years ago, God used a major prophet to speak this into the earth. Now, what's interesting about Isaiah, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, I won't read it all, but I'll at least give you the reference. Isaiah shared with us in this book that one of the things or the vision that God had given him was he was going to deliver prophetic words and it was not going to be understood. It was not going to be received. Now, how is that for someone who's starting off their ministry that they're going to be given a word from God, an assignment from God, and God tells them, hey, it's pretty much going to be fruitless in your lifetime? I mean, talk about something demotivating, right? And yet, what did Isaiah do? He went out and told them. He went out and shared the word of God that we still have it in recording. And we, you know, tend to think, well, we get these words from God, and we have hope that they're going to come through. We have a promise. He was told, this is not necessarily going to come through in your lifetime, and he still did it. What does that tell us? He was still obedient to the point of doing what God had called him to do. How much more should we be obedient to do what God has called us to do in the midst of circumstances and situations? Again, 2,700 years ago. Now, let's start here. Let's move forward 715 years to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I'll read the very first verse and then we'll drop down. Yeshua, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. So you all know what transpires next. He is led into the wilderness, tempted for 40 days by the enemy, and then angels minister to him. Look at verse 14. Actually, let's back up. Verse 13, when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. Verse 14, and Yeshua returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. So we know that from the life of our Redeemer, Scripture says that he only did what he saw his father do. He only spoke what he saw his, or heard what he only spoke what he heard his father speak, right? So he's sharing these different things, and he's, of course, teaching in the synagogue. And then it says, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. Holy Spirit, yes. It says, as was his custom. If anybody didn't need to go to church, who would you think it would be? Yeshua. So I just had to throw that out. Spirit of God just shared that with me. If anybody didn't need to go to church, here was Yeshua, and guess what? He was there. It says, as was his custom. If it was good enough for him, all right, we'll keep it moving. It says, and he stood up to read. Verse 17, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. Now, you've heard different ministers, preachers get up and say, you know, this is where they were in the line of reading Old Testament scriptures. I don't know whether that was the case or whether our Redeemer picked this particular passage, but the point was, this is what he read. You understand? 715 years later, our Redeemer gets up in the synagogue. He's handed the book of Isaiah. This is where he starts. So here we are, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. This is new covenant. This is our covenant. And you notice that he left off part of the last of that verse. Day of vengeance. Why did he leave that off? We're in the dispensation of grace. Grace. There's going to be a day of vengeance for some folk who don't accept Christ as Lord and Savior. But right now, this time period, he lays this out and says, here is the scripture. He stopped in the middle of a scripture, and what did he do? Verse 20, he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is 715 years later when Isaiah gave the prophetic word. And we have the audacity to go to God and say, hey, it's been 15 minutes and this thing ain't worked. You know, it's been a day and, you know, I got this prophetic word and what happened, Lord? 715 years. And yet you've got a man who shared the word, who was obedient, who God even told them, you're not going to get to see this to fruition. I mean, talk about a demotivating event, but his love for God It doesn't matter whether it happens in my life or future. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Do we have that tenacity? Do we have that strength that we are going to do whatever God tells us to do, regardless of circumstances, situations, not be hindered? We're talking about the anointing unhindered, right? Our Redeemer stands up and says to the people in the synagogue, "This day, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." I want you to flip over to Acts chapter 17, talking about the anointing unhindered, God's truth coming to fruition. Acts chapter 17, verse 21. This is Paul in Athens. He's about to go to Areopagus, Mars Hill. This is where different philosophers would end up going because they wanted to hear what the latest teaching was. What's new? What's the latest revelation? And Paul writes, Luke writes in the book of Acts, verse 21, "Now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new." And telling or hearing something new. The Amplified says, "They spent their leisure time in nothing except telling or hearing something newer than the last." And it's interesting, in this passage, it says they spent their leisure time doing nothing. Doing nothing. We know as believers that we are called to be hearers, be doers of the word, and not hearers only. These are people who just sat and did nothing, and they were waiting for the new thing to be revealed. And what the Spirit of God spoke to me is some of the church is still in that situation. They're waiting for something new, and they're always coming to church every Sunday to hear something new. Our Redeemer took something 715 years ago and declared it. God's word is still true. We don't need something new. This is what we need to live our life. We're always waiting for the next revelation, the next nugget, the next, well, I got a revelation. How about be imitators of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises of God? I got a revelation. How about repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? You know, I got a revelation that God still supplies all of our need according to his living standards in heaven. This has not changed, and this is the way we are supposed to still live by. See, you can get caught up. It was Joseph Smith who had the Bible and another revelation. Y'all recall. He had the Bible. Angel of the Lord came and revealed to him. And so he starts a new religion. It's Mormons. They got something else. You got this Bible and you got something else. There was a woman who was, she got miraculous healing in the church house. She was miraculously healed, and she realized that healing is available from God, and so we don't necessarily need medicine because you can get directly healed from God. So she created this revelation, and then you had the Church of Scientology. You understand? Because they wanted something in addition. Give us something new. Well, this desire to get something new can lead you astray if you can't stick with "it is written." That's why the scriptures talked about lauded the Bereans, because they would go and daily search to see if what the people were saying were actually true. The disciples are saying this stuff, but let's go to scripture and see, does this really line up? Is this true to the word of God? Any minister that stands up in the pulpit, yes, we should listen to them and receive the things that they say by faith, but make sure it checks out. Make sure it lines up. And it doesn't matter how long this word has been sitting dormant. It's like a seed. When you plant a seed, you don't know how old that seed is, but the moment you plant it and put it in the right conditions, what does it do? It produces. And the word was designed to produce. James 1:22, I shared it with you. Prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers only who delude themselves. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves imitating the world and always wanting to hear something new. That's where we find the people of Athens in Acts chapter 17, verse 21. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Many of y'all will recognize this passage. Yeshua the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, right? Now, he just gave a passage, our Redeemer, in Luke chapter 4 and says that this is fulfilled. Here's where we're going. John chapter 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. Our Redeemer tells us, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. So he says, look, it's to your advantage. I need to go away. I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and help you. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit helps us live out Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 2. The Holy Spirit helps us live out Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. As Jesus is, so are we in the earth. We're talking about the anointing unhindered. We are called to live as Jesus did here on the earth. And God doesn't just ask us to do the impossible. He empowers us by His Spirit to do the impossible. He even told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, hold on, before you go out there, don't do this or try to do this on your own. Wait for my Spirit. Wait until you are endued with power by my Spirit. Once you have the Spirit of God in you, then all systems are go. Well, guess what? If you are a believer now in this day and age, guess who you have residing in you? The Holy Spirit. All systems are go. We are to do what God has called us to do. There is no more delay. There's no more waiting. There is no, when is it going to be opportune time? Now is the opportune time that God has given us. Now we're anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set free those who are oppressed, and proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. You've heard many times, and as recently as this past Sunday from Brother Joel, that the anointing is for us to solve problems. And I would add that it's for us to solve problems and to make things easier. Scripture tells us that his burden is light, his yoke is easy. So if something's a little bit too difficult for you, you might want to check to make sure we're doing this under the power of his anointing. I wrote some things down to share with you as I was reflecting on my week. Just this week, I had someone tell me about a tragedy of one of their church members' family. And I won't go into details, but I'll just leave it at that. Someone else told me about their dating situation and being alone and wanting to be married. Someone else told me about finding out their significant other has been cheating on them. Someone else dealing with a crisis in their program because they did something I told them not to do, and what would happen if they did it, and everything I warned them against has come to pass. Now they're calling me back saying, how do we fix it? I share all that to say that's just my week. What about your week? This is just my week. I'm sure there's plenty of things that have happened in your week. Guess what? That's what the anointing is for. To help people in all of these various situations. We all view that the fivefold ministry is about flowing in the anointing, and yes, it is, but it's, as Brother Damon mentioned, it's equipping us to do the work of the ministry, or to do service. All these people that I just mentioned that were in my sphere of influence, I needed to be open to share the Word of God, to share God's truth, to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring wisdom, to bring and set captives free. You are the same way. You are going to run into people. You have different people. And what we tend to do is we focus on, well, but I've got issues. Your anointing is for taking care of others. And if you are busy taking care of others, God's got people to handle your business. I remember, Brother Demetrius, he was asking how work was going, and I was telling him that every time I press in to do the things of God and do what God has called me to do as it relates to serving in the body and helping others and doing this, that things take off in my business. And I told him that, well, whenever I focus on the business and say, well, I'm too busy with the business, so I let church stuff fall to, you know, take a back seat, it doesn't work as well. That thing slowed down. So I found, and I've learned, you know, I'm not the brightest out there, but I've learned, you know, you try things a couple times, I'm not going around the mountain like 15 times. I learned, I was like, okay, God, I got it. I'm focusing on you. I'm focusing on the things that you've called me to do. Now, that doesn't mean that with the wisdom that he's given me that I'm not going to apply those in the business realm. I still do that. But we've got to be sure that we are doing the will of God, that we are carrying out what God has asked us to do. So the Spirit of God has shared this with me, that in your life, in my life, there are no shortage of opportunities for the anointing to flow. It's a matter of, are we going to be open to let the Spirit of God use us? Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but what? The laborers are few. That means the amount of people who got to get up and go, they're not getting up and going. You know, we're talking about being doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, we've got to put action with our faith. What does this say? What's that very last word?
Action.
Y'all remember them lepers? They said, why just sit here till we die? We're going to die anyway, so how about we just go over to that camp and, you know, we're going to die anyway, so let's just go to that camp and see what comes about from it. What happened when they went to the camp? People took off because, hey, whoa, these are some lepers. We're not dealing with getting contagious or getting that from them. They took off. The lepers got the spoil. How much does that teach us? If we'll just get up and do something as believers, if we'll get up and just do what God has called us to do. Again, we're anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, Kenneth, I'm not called to the fivefold ministry. If you are, all the men here, you're on a distro list by Napoleon. I think it used to be on his signature, signature, it used to say, may still do, says, everywhere you go, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. You preach the gospel by living it. This is not an oratory lesson. Preaching the gospel to the poor is what you live. It's what I live. It's what we're doing on a daily basis. Paul wrote it this way. He said that we are living epistles, meaning we are the books that people are reading to learn about faith in God. God has called us to this. So here we are, Luke chapter 4, that was 715 years later. We are 2,700 years later from that word. And God has still called us to live this out. It has not lost its power. So the question that God asked me was, so what happened? If the word has not lost its power, what happened? We just read Hebrews chapter 13, 8, that our Redeemer doesn't change. 1 John 4, 17 tells us that as he is, so are we in the world. So what happened? We know from Acts chapter 1, 8 that we were endued from power by the Holy Spirit. What happened? 1 Thessalonians. This is the scripture that God opened up to me through this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. It says here, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, do not quench the Spirit. Quench means to suppress or stifle. What happened? Ta-da, there it is. In some form or fashion, the church has suppressed or stifled the Spirit in operation. It's as simple as that. The Spirit is ready to go and flow through us, but in some form or fashion, we have quenched or suppressed the Spirit. And the picture there that they're trying to give is, it's as if there's a fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit, and someone has thrown water on it. And that's the image that you're getting here as far as quenching the Spirit. And so we're going to talk about how we've done this and how do we fix it. One of the ways that we have done this, when we look at verse 20, and Brother Arthur, if you can pass out those handouts, the ushers will give you a handout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 tells us to not despise what? Do not despise small beginnings. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Do not despise small beginnings. Do not despise prophetic utterances. This scripture here, it says literally, do not despise prophetic gifts, right? The ushers are handing out this word that I want to walk you through. This was given by Sister Gail, through Sister Gail, by the Lord at ministry anniversary celebration back in 2011, so 7 years ago. The Lord shared, I want a continuous flow of my Spirit and anointing flowing in my house. I will demonstrate my word. I am not a special meeting God. I am an everyday, all day, 24/7, 365 days, God and Father. My children must come with expectant hearts, knowing I will meet every demand, make place, and expect an outpouring of my anointing. When anyone at any time, day or night, comes into this house, my presence will already be here. Establish it. Now is the time for a continuous outpouring of my presence for my people. This is the word of the Lord. I was going through a lot of prophecies, and Pastor, you know Pastor, he kept everything recorded. Whenever there was a prophetic word, he would make sure, which we need to bring this back on Saturday nights, but make sure that there was a microphone. Make sure it was recorded. Then he would transcribe it. And he would give it to us even at the ministers' meetings. He would share it on Believers in Richmond assemblies when we would meet Saturday nights. And so I've got a stack of these, and I was flipping through and just reading and meditating on it, and this one drew me. We've let this one go. This was 7 years ago. Why has this not come to fruition? I would submit to you, it's not because of God. It's because of us. It's on us. We've got to open ourselves up to let God flow in this assembly. And in order for that to happen, we've got to open ourselves up to let God flow through us on a daily basis. And what's interesting about this word is he said, I am not a special meeting God. You think, we tend to think, well, if we go to church when all the conditions are right, and usually when all the conditions are right, we assume that that's a special minister. When all the conditions are right, when we've been prayed up, that then the anointing is going to flow, and then we're going to get and receive from God. And yet God says, this is supposed to be a daily thing. This is not supposed to be a special meeting. All forces are in line and we're all planning for a ministry anniversary celebration, or we're planning for a special guest minister to come in and God is going to move when that guest minister comes. How about you be the guest minister and let the Lord flow through you? How about you be the guest minister to your sphere of influence, and then you come back, start a revival here at House of the Lord, talking about, like Sister Marcia said, she was at the hospital on her worst day, had overwhelming work, and someone came to bother her, and she prayed because their baby had died, and she prayed over the womb, and the baby came back to life. You talk about you want revival. Revival is going to start by bringing back. This is what the Lord is doing outside of these four walls. This is what God is doing through the people of House of the Lord. This is, let me share with you something that I was, many, many years ago, this was 2007, I went through some coaching at my previous job, and won't go into a whole bunch of details, but one of the things that the gentleman shared with me that I'll read to you is this poem. Well, I don't know if it's a poem, this is writing from Marianne Williamson, which is called Our Deepest Fears. And it's another way that we can be quenched, or we can quench the spirit, is by giving into our fears. Brother Joel dealt with that last Sunday, right? That's one way that we can quench the spirit. And so I'll share this with you, and you've probably heard it before. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Here's a key line. Your playing small does not serve the world. Your playing small does not serve the world. And obviously, you all know my temperament, my makeup, and that's probably why this was shared with me back in the day, that many years ago. It says here, we are all meant to shine as children do. We were born, I skipped a line, sorry. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. Think about that. We need to turn up the volume in our life. We're all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it is in everyone. That's a little bit off, but we'll keep it moving. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I was with Brother Joel in the Afterglow, which, by the way, for those who serve and help with the Afterglow, that is a very vital, important thing. Don't think that, well, that's just, you know, getting food for the ministries. There's ministry that takes place there. There's connections that are made, so ushers, hostesses, I applaud you all for doing that and being a blessing. I was sitting across from Brother Joel, and he was just talking about, you know, how, you know, my wife was blessed in the Word and, you know, different things like that, and he asked me how I felt about the assembly, what I got from it. Ministry took place after that, and this is what he shared with me based upon my conversation and feedback. He said, "Kenneth, you've got to stop playing defense. You now need to go on offense." That spoke volumes to me. He said, "You've got to stop playing defense, and you've got to go on offense." And a lot of us find ourselves in that particular situation. We are waiting for an attack so we can make our stand. That's not how God has called us to live. There was a prophetic word which, speaking of prophetic words, Saturday nights, come. It is a powerful time that we have praying. Just to give you a little taste that y'all missed, there was a couple of prophetic words that came through, one through our brother Demetrius and one through our sister Judah. That you all missed, but you weren't there. But we're going to get some on tape. God is using not just certain folk, it's the body. And that's what I just got excited because it spoke. I had already knew what I was going to share this morning. And so when last night happened, I was like, ooh, this is right in line. This is one of the words that came through Brother Demetrius was, we are not to seek or wait on change. We are the change. We are to be on offense. That's what I got from that. We are the change. Some of us are looking for change. We're waiting on change. No, you are it. Tag. Go do what God has called you to do. Getting excited here. Share this. Where? There it is. Matthew 5:16. Yes. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I remember, man, it's you can practically go through different verses, and I've got recollections of different verses at different times. And there was one moment at UT when Brother John preached this verse and talked about if the salt loses its saltiness, how can we be flavored to the world? And he just, brother, I still remember that. It was fire. But he's basically saying, look, you are the salt of the world. You are the light. If you're not going to be the light, if you're not going to be the salt, then what chance does the world have? And you got it all. This is all in us. This is all in the body. This is in the church. I want to share this with you. And I'm almost done, I believe. We'll see what the Spirit says. This is coming from, this is a quote I'll share with you. This is from Dr. Jennifer Price. It says, you have to make a decision that you're not going to live beneath what God is calling you to. That's a decision. That's a choice. And one of the things that God had spoken to me as we're looking at this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, one of the ways that we quench the Spirit that I'll get into is I'll share it with an illustration. My mom, she had called, this was many, many years ago, she had called, and she got this new vehicle, new to her. She had bought a used vehicle, and so she was excited about it, driving it around. And then she called me, I don't know how long after that, it was maybe a few months later or whatever, my mom calls me, and she tells me, hey, yeah, I had to take that vehicle back to the dealership.
I was like, well, what was the problem? She's like, yeah, it was being a little sluggish and stuff, and it was having problems. And so I, you know, it's like, I can't deal with this. So she took it back to the dealership, and I said, well, what do they tell you? And they said, they checked it out, and they said, ma'am, there's nothing wrong with the vehicle. We don't understand why you bring it. So they asked her to describe what it was doing, and she was like, well, you know, when I kick on the accelerator and I get up to a certain speed, it just gets sluggish or whatever. And so they were researching and looking at the vehicle, and they said, ma'am, there's no defect with the vehicle. The vehicle has a speed limiter on it. When you get up to a certain speed, it regulates it, and it's not going to let you get above that speed. And I was like, and so she asked me, she's like, have you ever heard of anything like that? I was like, no. So, and the Lord brought this back to my memory, and y'all got to understand my mom, she is funny. She told the dealership, she's like, well, you need to take that off. She said, you need to fix that. I was like, yes, mama, yes. That you tell that dealership. She told him, you need to fix that. Here's what, I looked this up, because the Lord had brought this to me as I'm preparing for this lesson, and here's a definition. It says, a speed limiter is a governor used to limit the top speed of a vehicle. For some classes of vehicles and in some jurisdictions, they are a statutory requirement. For some other vehicles, the manufacturer provides a non-statutory system which may be fixed or programmable by the driver. By the driver. So my mom, of course, had them fix it, but here's what the Spirit of God spoke to me. A lot of the church is walking around living life with limiters on the Spirit of God. We operate and will tell the Spirit of God how much he can operate in our lives or in what areas he can operate in. That's where we find the church. And what God is speaking to us in the anointing unhindered is we've got to get rid of any limiters that are causing the brakes on the flow of his Spirit in our own life. And there are many, many things that could be the limiters. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what those are, and we need to open ourselves up and say, Lord, if there's anything hindering or quenching your flow in my life, suppressing it, stifling it in any kind of way, identify it, and let's get this thing out. The Spirit of God also spoke to me, and he said that this is not something put onto you by the manufacturer. God did not put a limiter on you. It's something that we picked up. Someone or something put this on our life, and we've got to take that limiter off that's causing us to, when we hit a certain speed, the vehicle gets sluggish, and we slow down, and we put the brakes because for a lot of us, it's, here's that word, comfortable. You know, we don't want to flow a certain direction because we're not used to that. And the Spirit of God says, look, the manufacturer did not put that defect in you. It's, first of all, it's not a defect. It's a machine or whatever it is, something in the circuitry that's causing that. So it took me back to my mom. How did my mom deal with it? Well, she knew enough to know that something was limiting her ability. And we think, well, I've got to know everything. No, you don't. All you need to know is there something limiting the flow of the Spirit in your life? If you recognize that, then you get professional help. That professional help can come from the Holy Spirit. It can come from talking to Sister Lou. It can come from meeting with Brother Arthur. It can come from the body. But there are people here who can identify and say, this is what's limiting. I just had a, you know, conversation sitting with Brother Joel. One of the things that was limiting me, he said, you need to quit playing defense and start going on offense. That's a limiting factor for me. That's the way I took it. There were some things that he spoke that I won't get into to my wife, that she took it to heart, that she was dealing with. These are limiting factors in our life that we've got to allow the anointing of God to identify, get rid of, and let's carry on what God has called us to do. Amen? Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you, Lord, for helping us realize and identify, Father, the same thing that you shared in Isaiah chapter 61, Father, that our Redeemer fulfilled in Luke chapter 4, Father. You are causing us to live out today by empowerment of your Holy Spirit, Father. We recognize that there are things that may be hindering us. We recognize that there are things that may be limiting us that, in effect, are stifling or suppressing your Spirit's operation in our life, Father. And we just open ourselves up for you to reveal that to us, for you to fix it, for you to take care of it, Father. We are no longer going to be limited. We are no longer going to be half-functioning as a body. But, Lord, we are going to rise and walk in the fullness and the anointing that you've called us to, unhindered, flowing in the full power of God. We know that you, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in us bodily, Father, and we choose to function in it, Father. We will no longer play small. We will go on offense, and we will go out and take this city, this nation, this world for you, Father, and rise up, live big, and be the people that you've called us to be in the wealthiest church, in the wealthiest nation the world has ever seen, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Awesome word, brother. Awesome word. Well, I'm here to encourage you. You've heard the word this morning. I encourage you to sow into our brother. The bucket is here, but I just wanted to just kind of reiterate something. You know, this wall is bare right here. Y'all remember the confessions that we used to have on the wall and on I-35? One of them said, I'm taking the limits off of God's ability in me. There are some other confessions, but we need to continue to stir ourselves with that word. Take those limits off of what God wants to do in us. And as I mean, it's just God had a divine purpose from the word that Sister Gail gave before the message. It's time for us to realize we're not waiting on a due season. We're not waiting on a time. This is the time. And God has commissioned us to carry forth his goodness and his light into the world. So stand with me. I'm going to bless you and just thank the Father. Let's just worship the Lord for the word that we received this morning. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, sir. Lord, we praise you, Father God. We rejoice in you for this word that we have received, Lord God, and we purpose to take off any restraints, any hindrances that would not allow us to be all that you've called us to be, Father. We purpose this day to take any limiters off of your ability that wants to flow in and through us, Father God. We rejoice. We celebrate your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord God. We just cover Pastor Richard and Sister Michelle right now, Father, as they're traveling, Father God. And we just speak blessings on them, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for every person that is here, Lord God. We thank you. Your perfect will and plan and purpose is accomplished in their lives. Everything that their hands touch prospers, Lord God. They come short in no good thing, but you purpose, continue to allow them to be conduits of your anointing, conduits of your grace, conduits of your mercy. Lord God, we just speak your provision, your abundant blessing, healing, everything that is of the kingdom, we declare and decree belongs to this, your people, this day, Lord God. And we just release your blessing, Father. And your word says, whom you have blessed, Father, none can curse. We rejoice and we celebrate your goodness in all the earth. Thank you, Father. Amen. You are blessed. Go with God. Amen.